still here for a moment.
My truck has been in regen for an awful long time this morning.
Hopefully it's just needing to clean out. Hadn't done it in a while, but that's not good.
Or when it does that?
Usually, you might notice a little bit, but not a big deal.
All it's doing is injecting unburned diesel fuel into the exhaust stream so it can go into the catalyst and create heat to burn off the soot. But, yeah, usually it's only about 20 minutes, but, man, this thing has been going for about 45 minutes now.
A lot of white smoke.
That is what they're doing.
Buddy, about getting all this stuff ripped off here.
They're talking it might be legal here before long.
I don't care anymore, so, yeah, I'm just, you know, if it becomes legal, then hopefully get a lot cheaper.
We'll see where it does any good anyway. You start looking at the numbers and actually look at the whole picture instead of just one little pointed point in it, and it's not any cleaner or more efficient.
How much fuel it takes to do the regen process. I mean, it's just, you know, you're robbing Peter to pay Paul.
They got away from that style regen and went to the style that's out there now with the DEF, and they don't dump raw diesel fuel in the exhaust anymore.
Only admit that particulate emissions from passenger trucks are such a small amount that it's not worth forcing them to do anything about it.
That, and the fuel mileage loss that that causes is unbelievable. Most trucks that are deleted pick up anywhere from 2 to 4 miles to the gallon. And over the life of a vehicle, that's going to save more pollutants than the regen system is.
You know, there's more diesel fuel burned in ships and trains than all of the road vehicles combined. And ships and trains aren't required to do any emissions controls.
It's amazing what one ship engine will burn an hour in diesel fuel. It's staggering.
Some of these engines are the size of a small building, you know, and they burn, you know, thousands of gallons of diesel per hour to make their, you know, 750,000 horsepower, whatever it is, to move those things.
For HGX, yeah, I was watching a show talking about that one time, or, you know, and it was amazing how many 55-gallon drums of diesel fuel went into that cylinder to ignite it on one compression stroke. I can't remember, but it was just mind-boggling, the size of that.
They're like 3 or 4 feet across, and the stroke is like 15 to 20 feet, and, you know, they run about 100 RPM, and it's like 50 or 60 gallons per compression stroke in even one of the smaller ones.
No, and then you talk about the engines on, like, the aircraft carriers and battleships and stuff like that. I mean, you're crazy as the amount of fuel. I don't see how they get anywhere, because all they're doing is carrying diesel fuel.
For them to go all electric, right?
Most of them have gone to nuclear power.
It's worth, so I'm going to say 7-3. Try to get in here while the pavement here is actually still dry. And you guys have a good one. Be safe out there in the rain. KN4 TSW.
Good to talk to you this morning. Which get?
Talking to you this morning. We'll catch you next week. W2JKT. I'm just hoping it becomes easier to cut everything off. I'll call your buddy and see if I can get it done, because, you know, it burns 3 or 4 gallons of diesel to go through a regen cycle, and it does that every 400 miles or so, and it's just a huge waste. I mean, it's just an incredible waste, and I would rather just not do it.
I'm with you. That's the reason I buy what I buy. I don't buy for my personal vehicles. I won't buy one of them that has that on it just because of the headaches of having to deal with it. I'll just keep buying the older one and fix it, and they do the job just fine.
They added the DTF and stuff. Was that like 2012 or something?
It's on the manufacturer a little bit. They vary just a year or two. But right around 2010 to 12, somewhere in that range. They had a very different system. Not all of them were the same. That's when they were just getting started. And Ford was different than GM, and GM was different than Dodge. I mean, it was crazy how they all done it.
The whole thing is that the whole problem was created to take care of nitrogen oxide emissions, which, they suspected that nitrogen oxide emissions were the cause of smog in Los Angeles for the longest time. So California started requiring all this nitrogen oxide remediation. So you had to lower your combustion temperatures, which created all the soot, which necessitated the DPF. And now they found that nitrogen oxide emissions have absolutely nothing to do with smog. And so there's no reason to curb nitrogen oxide emissions, but they still require it because once the government makes a decision, it will always refuse to admit that it made a mistake.
In the lifetime of the people that were alive then, anyway, they might 100 years down the road, but not anytime soon. And that's just ridiculous because it's an ever-changing technology. There's going to be mistakes made. So just admit it, move on, learn from it, and go.
But, hopefully, who knows what's going to happen in the future, right? So, we know one thing is that the bureaucracy never likes to admit that it is wrong. So it'll be an uphill battle either way.
And that doesn't change no matter who's in office.
We're sitting in my office right now.
Well, that's a bad place for it to be right now.
At Park, it's a long run to get into the office.
Great way to start your day off, too, with wet feet and you're soaking wet.
5 miles to go, so a lot can happen, but it's coming down pretty good right here at 42.
Up here where I'm at right now in Greer.
Off for this trip, but when it's on, it's on. Oxygen.
Depending on how close you are and how far down you got to go, Eric, you might drive through it because it's almost done over toward Easley and Seneca in that area.
The exit now, and it's still coming down pretty good, but yeah, 13 miles to go, a lot can happen. So, I didn't even notice that the repeater got weak around that shadow, Augusta Road, and 46 to 48. So, I'm definitely convinced that they've done something to it.
Like I said, I'll try to find out today, because I'm curious now myself.
He's on probably a bad piece of coax or something. Second place is tuning the cans because they've gotten off. And then third place, maybe repeating the, replacing the transmitter board in the repeater. That's my top three guesses.
I'd have to say I agree with you. And Eric, I just pulled up a satellite image of the rain. Looks like right around Cherokee Road, you'll drive out of it.
It's a lot lighter now that I've gotten south of the Easley exit.
Highway 8, or the Easley Highway, or in intersection 85 and Highway 8 is what's getting it right now, the heaviest.
A little north of that, so I'm about to drive into it.
You're probably through it. That's old information.
I got about 500 pounds of rocks in the back of my truck. I forgot about them. I got them for the new retaining wall and stuff that we built over the weekend, and I only shoveled out about a half of what I got. So I got to shovel out the other half still, but they're still on the bed of the truck.
To keep planted on the highway.
definitely an old trick from up north when we lived in upstate New York. Everybody with pickup trucks always drove around with cinder blocks in the back in the wintertime.
We used firewood, cinder blocks, whatever we could find to put some weight in the back end of that truck.
And BMW drivers of the time.
Not too much about BMW drivers. They weren't big up around the house.
Well, rear wheel drive, though.
First were rear wheel drive in the 80s. But didn't have many BMWs around the house. Just wasn't a popular vehicle back then.
W4FGM.
If you want to go ahead and call Jonathan, we'll step aside for a minute.
If I could, just one try here. If not, wait till you finish a little bit. KD4FDI, W4FCM. Yep, son? We'll be soon, and you don't go much past 6:30, I don't think, so he'll be up a little bit, W4FCM.
We'll be done here shortly. Eric's almost to work, so we'll clear out of here then for sure.
Way 8, so I got about 7 minutes to the exit.
Can't even get the repeater there where you're at now, or before you couldn't.
Anyway, with a truck, I could get it all the way down to the office usually, but it's still full. I mean, it's definitely stronger than it usually is, even in the truck. I'm still getting the full deflection on the strength meter, and it's full quieting, no problem.
You're going to have to ask around about that.
Grateful for it, because it's nice when it can come in and you don't have to squint your ears to hear what's going on.
That is for sure.
A little early today, probably around lunchtime, so I might call you from the house if I can get to the repeater from there.
I'll be around all day today. I'll be out late this evening too, so just give me a shout. And maybe try a couple times because I'm in and out, so I might not hear you.
I'd email to Sarah about that repeater issue I was talking to you about yesterday with that repeater that moved, because I'm definitely opening up both, you know, if the Henderson machine is hearing me, then I'm opening up both of those repeaters at the same time because they're both on the same input and PL tone. So I sent out a quick email just describing the issue and asking them what they should, you know, if they have any thoughts about it.
I will if the repeater owner, Martin, has had any trouble with the one there in Hendersonville.
I was talking on this repeater in Gastonia is going to be opening up the Henderson machine too, and but only you know, they won't hear but half the conversation, so yeah, it could be an issue.
If I can't reach out to them today, I've got his contact information. He actually don't live far from me at all.
Update our coordinations when we move.
And, but most people don't.
Mark, I mean, you're just filling out a web form and sending it in, and then, you know, the coordinator can just look at it and make sure you're not going to step on anybody. It takes, like, a minute to do it.
Don't do it. You get to feel like a rebel and, you know, that kind of thing.
Not right now.
I know. but... that's why I just had to laugh about it. That's really all you can do.
Googling the guy and found out that he's like an Elvis impersonator and has had 27 addresses in the last year, and I'm like...
I've spoken to him on the radio a couple of times. He used to get on here, but I haven't heard him on here in quite some time.
I know where he exactly is because, like, on his repeater coordination, he is in one city, but on his QRZ, he's in another city, and his coordination is still back up in, Virginia, and it's just on his coordination for his Virginia repeater, quote-unquote, his address is in Advance, North Carolina, but his QRZ is in Gastonia, North Carolina, and, you know, if you look at, do like a people search, he's got just, you know, tons of addresses all in the last couple of years, so, you never know where this guy is.
Maybe he'll get it straightened out here for long, and you never know what the other side of the story is. I'm trying to be optimistic, so and leave it at that.
you know, like, hey, you know, maybe he just moved and forgot to update or something, but maybe they need to get their input frequencies moved, or at least their PL tones changed, so they're not picking each other up. You know, that's the way I left it. You know, let them deal with it.
Best thing you can do. But, Eric, I am going to jump off. I'm here at my first stop and see if we can't get this day started. But good to talk to you this morning. I enjoyed it. And give me a shout this afternoon on your way home. KO4HGX.
Talking to you, and I'm about to get off my exit anyway, so I'll sign as well. And maybe I'll catch you later on today. This is W2JKT73.